Reading that passage of scripture for us, and thank you to the worship team for leading us in those songs. That last song we sang, The Goodness of God, that has become one of my favorites. It absolutely has. For those of you from the school, almost every time I speak, I ask for it to be sung. So thank you for setting that up, Sam. I appreciate that. You had no idea it was coming, but you know the Lord went before you. I'm grateful for it. Well, it's great to be back with you all. I always enjoy getting out here to Mitchell to share with you all. And if you would, you can open up to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be there in just a little bit. But as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What's that time of your life you missed something and you just absolutely felt horrible about it? Maybe you forgot about the birthday. I won't mention anniversaries because elbows might start flying if I mention that, right? But maybe you missed something. When I was a pastor down in Colorado, I missed a wedding. Now, it sounds worse than what it actually was. What had happened was there was a young couple that their kind of the wife-to-be, her parents attended our church, and they were just having this small little ceremony on the farm. It was literally just going to be the parents, the siblings. That was it. I asked them, what do you want in the service? They said, we just want you to read these verses. We want to have a time of prayer and we want to exchange our vows and that's it. I'm like, are you having a wedding party? No. Are you having this? No. It was just that. I was like, okay, well, I could do that. So the day was coming up and the Sunday before I said, we're still on for Saturday, right? And they said, yes, we're still on. Well, I'm going through the week. It was VBS week. So we're going through VBS week. Friday comes. And, you know, we just wrapped up the day. I'm doing all the teaching. We had our closing. I'm talking to people as we go. Then we immediately go to the cleanup. You know what that's like. Straight to the cleanup, get everything done. And I get done with the cleanup about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I pull out my phone. I had been on silent. And there was like four messages of, where are you? And I'm like, where am I for what? You know, and I call them and they say, we had the ceremony without you. And I said, I asked if it was Saturday. I said, no, it was Friday. So it wasn't entirely my fault. It was a miscommunication, but I felt awful. And every time I see that couple, even to this day, I feel bad about it. It's like, man, they moved away. And I was kind of like, thank you, Lord, for a little bit of relief. You know, it's not the right attitude, but that's how I felt. Well, we've all missed things. But today I want to talk about us missing something. It comes up every year. I don't know about you. I think it's really easy for me. I think all of us to miss it. And that is really what Easter's all about. You know, we have church services. We have special things like that. But it's way too easy to miss what Easter's really all about. And as I was feeling this way, I decided to do some research thinking, you know, I think this is more of a problem in our society than maybe we recognize. So I did some research. I looked up some polls and I found some statistics gathered in the last couple of years regarding how Americans view various holidays. And in this survey, they ask, do you have a positive or negative view of this holiday? And then they made a list of the most popular, the most positively viewed holidays in America. Anyone want to guess what number one is? It's actually not Christmas anymore. I was surprised by this. It's actually Thanksgiving by 1%. Thanksgiving, 79% of Americans have a positive view of Thanksgiving, which I'm a Thanksgiving advocate through and through. I've been here for a couple of your Thanksgiving meals. So I'm like, that's great. Second on the list, Christmas, 78%. It's, you know, within the margin of error. Okay. That's the second one. Now, when I say holidays, this includes everything. Federal holidays, stuff that we don't even recognize. Oh, is it that day? I guess the bank's closed, you know, kind of thing. Number three shows that. Number three was Veterans Day. Which again, I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad people are, you know, have a positive view of that. 77% had a view of that. By the way, the 23% that do not can leave the country, in my opinion. Anyway, number four was Memorial Day. 75% had a positive view of that. I kind of feel the same way about that one as the last one. Number five, Mother's Day. You can't argue with that one, right? I mean, you really can't. 74% had a positive view of Mother's Day. Sixth, this one surprised me. I don't think any of us would ever guess. I never would have guessed it. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 70%. So take this in. We've covered Thanksgiving, Christmas, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Like, gotta be a patriotic American. Mother's Day, yeah, that should be that way. Now we're Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 70%. We haven't hit Easter yet. Isn't that interesting? Then you have a three-way tie for seventh. Father's Day, which, by the way, dads, we're lacking here. We're 5% behind the ladies when it comes to this. Let's be honest, we deserve a lot less than that when it comes to it. Father's Day, tied with Labor Day. That's the one I'm just shocked. But I bet people have a positive view because some people get the day off. I never have. But anyway, and then tied for seventh as well is Easter at 69%. And out of those three with the margin of error, it's technically the lowest. So it might actually be ninth on the list. Isn't that sad? Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, all of us here at church and whatnot, but the fact that there's this number, 31% of our nation, that's a positive view of Easter is quite amazing. And the disturbing trend to me as I actually looked at this, what was this? That amongst baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, there was 73% positive favorability. But then you get to my generation, millennials, those born between 1982 and 1999, that number has dropped more than 10%. Like, let this check in. My generation, those from their late 20s and their early 40s, there's over a third of us that do not have a positive view of Easter at all. Isn't that sad? I was thinking to myself last night as I was, you know, reflecting on the sermon and everything, and you know, you're in the shower, you get their bathroom thoughts. And my shower thought for last night was, we need a rebranding of Easter. Now, what do I mean by rebranding? The message needs to stay. That's what it's all about, right? But apparently something's off in our society. We're not recognizing how important of a day it is. Now, I'm not here to talk about what that is. That's for people that have different skills than I do. What I want to point out this morning is that it's so easy to miss Easter. We're busy in the spring. I grew up in agricultural country as well. It's spring's coming. Things get busy. My mom works for a CPA, has my whole life. That's tax season. Things are busy. There's a lot going on this time of year, and Easter can just become something we go through the motions in. But let's take a moment and think about it. Out of all the days that have ever been on this whole earth, Easter has to be towards the top, if not the top of the list, right? What's the resurrection do? Christ dies, but then because he rises, we can know the forgiveness of sins. We can have eternal life. We can spend eternity in heaven as opposed to condemnation in hell. That's a pretty important day. So what I want to do is take a little bit of time today and go through the three different groups that showed up at the tomb that first Easter. And we're going to find out that all three of them missed Easter. So apparently we're in good company. Because the first people on that first day, they missed it as well. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin with our first group. Lord, I'm grateful for the privilege to be back here again in Mitchell. I'm grateful for this group of believers, and I pray that as we examine your word in these three different groups that were there on Easter morning, that we'd learn from them that we wouldn't miss the wonderful, glorious realities of Easter. Help us in these things. Lord, I don't know where we're at right now. I don't know what's on our hearts and minds or how we're feeling. But Lord, help those things to be set aside right now that you might move and work in us. That we might, again, celebrate this season well and we might share this season well with everyone around us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start talking about the first group that came to the tomb. And they actually came the day before, and that were the guards that were there. Let's start reading with Matthew 27, and we'll start with verse 62. So Jesus has been crucified, he's died, he's been buried, and it says this. Now, on the next day, so the day after his death, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I'm going to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now let's just think about it. Jesus had told his disciples, we know directly, at least four times, the Gospel of Matthew records, he had told them four times directly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again the third day. Four times he directly told them that. And on Easter morning, the only people there are guards that were forced to be there because of the paranoia of the religious leaders. Here's another thing to think about. Isn't it sad that the only people that actually listened to Jesus' word about I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again the third day were his enemies? I mean, think about it. The disciples heard this four times. What should the disciples have been doing? In the middle of the night, they should have been like, hey, pop some popcorn, get the lawn chairs. We're going to go watch this. You know, and as dawn's coming up, they're just like, you know, ready to go. Like, what's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? But they're not there. The only ones there are these guards. And their job's what? Don't let his body get out. Boy, that was a failure, wasn't it? It didn't turn out so well. Why did they miss Easter, though? Here's why. They were so focused on what was outside the tomb, they missed what was inside of it. They were so focused on what was outside of the tomb, they missed what was inside of it. And I'll dare say this. I think each and every one of us, I know there's been times in my life, I've done this. I love Easter. I love the traditions of it. I don't know what you're doing for Easter. I'm going to be going down to Colorado to be with my side, the family down there, and we're going to have a lunch together. I don't know how this started. My grandmother started this years and years and years ago. We have tacos on Easter. No idea why, but I love tacos, so like, hey, I'm up for it. We're going to go down and we're going to have tacos like our family so often does. Yeah, we're on the same page here. Good. We go down, we're going to enjoy that. What's going to happen? The kids are probably going to die Easter eggs with grandma. Why? Because grandma's great. And we're going to have Easter egg hunt. We're going to do all those fun things, right? My mom has always got Easter baskets ever since I was a kid with candy and stuff in it. There'll be things that I love all those things. But if you ask the majority of Americans, that's what Easter is, right? It's Easter bunny. It's Easter eggs. It's springtime. It's the pastel colors and all those things like that. We miss what it is. We can get so caught, even on good things. We can get caught up on special services here at church, and we should have them. We absolutely should. We can get caught up on that and actually not from the heart take time to actually remember what happened. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to give us new life. It's so easy. We can do it every Sunday as well when we gather together. I mean, the reason we gather on Sundays is because of that resurrection, right? To commemorate that. I don't know what it is you need to do, what is God's will would have you to do regarding how to deal with this, but I know for myself, as I've been thinking or wrestling with this last week, there's some things I said, this is what I'm going to do. Because usually for Easter, I have my list, you know, of like, well, I got to get this done, I got to get this done, we got to go shopping, we got to clean this, things like that. I've added to my list of those physical things, here's some things I want to do spiritually. That I might be ready for this. We need those sorts of things to make sure we truly are ready. I remember years ago, I saw a video, and in this video, there was this young boy, I don't know how old he was, he's probably about this tall, and he was out in a corral, and he was fully, you know, gussied up as a cowboy. He had his little cowboy hat on. He had his chaps, his boots, a big old belt buckle. He was, you know, full-fledged. He had a rope. And he's there swinging that rope around as best he can. And he's throwing it at a heifer. And the dad's filming this, as any good dad does. Okay? He's filming this. He says, you don't want to do that, son. But he's filming anyway. He's not going to stop him. You know, I'm just going to film it, right? So he's filming it. He says, you don't want to do that. But he tries a few times. And finally, he gets that rope around the neck of that heifer. And you know what happens. Same thing the dad knew was going to happen. That heifer takes off like a dragster from the starting line. And that little boy right behind him, getting drugged through the corral all over the place, and all his nice, you know, cowboy outfit and everything that way. Getting drugged around. And his dad's laughing, of course, again, like any good dad. By the way, this is why Mother's Day was higher on the list than Father's Day, just so you know. He's being drugged through the mud and everything else you might find in a corral. And finally, the dad's yelling, let go, son, let go. And the boy yells back. It was so funny. You could hear the boy yell back, but then she'll get away. He's being drugged through the crowd. Finally, he has to let go. He stands up, and he is just covered. You can imagine, you know, from head to toe. Everything was once so nice. It's just covered in everything from the corral. He comes stumbling over towards dad. His dad's still laughing. And the video ends with his dad saying, I told you so. I laugh so much at that video, but it's a good reminder of, you know, that boy thought he had everything he needed to be able to rope that heifer, but he wasn't quite old enough yet, right? We can go to church services. We can invite the family over. We can have the special meal. We can dye the Easter eggs. We can fill in the blank with whatever it is and still not be ready. As we come into this Easter season, let's remember, let's learn from the guards. It's not about what's outside of the tomb. It's not about all the bells and whistles. It's about what? What's inside the tomb. And whatever we need to do on our own to remind us of that, let's do it. That's the first lesson we can learn from the first group that was there. But there are others. We read about them just a moment ago. Turn over to Luke 24 again, if you will, please. I like this account. Matthew keeps things pretty short when it comes to the ladies there. But I do like what he has to bring up. What Luke brings up regarding the ladies here, I do like that. And as you're turning there, let me read the first verse, the first stanza of that great old hymn, He Lives, because I think it really applies to help us remember what we should. In that great hymn, it's written, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. Love that good old hymn that is there. What a great reminder for us. I want to see more good reminders from this hymn as we go throughout this as well. But let's start reading in Luke 24, verse 1. And we're going to, again, see what the ladies do here. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still with you in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered these words. These women weren't there for the rest. They showed up later on, these wonderfully faithful women, you know, the women, the best ones in the whole story, but they weren't actually there. Why? Because they were focused on the past, and they missed what God was doing in the present. Now, these women, they had followed Jesus from Galilee. And while they were in Galilee, Matthew 27 tells us that they had been ministering to Jesus all throughout his time in Galilee. And they came down to Jerusalem with him, and they ministered that week with him in Jerusalem. And then when he dies, they're the one group of his followers said to be there from beginning to end. They're there as he's hanging on the cross. They're there to see where he's buried. And they're the first ones to show up after the day, after Sabbath, so they can be there to anoint his body, to take care of the burial customs. They always took care of his physical needs. And even in his death, they were going to be there. But they went looking for the Jesus of the past, the one who died on Good Friday, the one that they mourned and wept over. That's the Jesus they came to find. And in that grief, whatever state it is they were in, they forgot about his words. And again, notice what the angel said. He goes, hey, remember how he spoke these things to you? And then after he tells them, they go, oh yeah, we do remember. It's also so easy for us, I know easy for me, to come to Easter and hear the same story over and over and over again. And pretty soon it's the story of something that's far off that happened 2,000 years ago in a far off place on the other side of the world. And while that is true, the fact we got to recognize is this, is that Jesus is just alive today as he was back then on that first resurrection Sunday. He's still moving and working amongst us. As we come to Easter, are we worshiping? Are we thinking about a Jesus from 2,000 years ago? Are we thinking about the Jesus that is in and moving and working amongst us today? We need to be doing that. Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but let's make sure we're going to celebrate Easter in the right way with all these things. Because it's so easy for us to fall into these traps. Years ago, I read an article from a zoo down in South Africa. And this zoo has one of the largest chimpanzee exhibits in all the world, which again makes sense being in Africa, right? Has one of these big, and what they had was this 1,000 square meter concrete house for these chimpanzees. You know, with basically, I'm going to imagine it was railroad ties. They had all these wooden poles and platforms and ropes and things like that. And there's like a big inside enclosure. And it was this big thing. But they wanted to give these chimpanzees more. The zoo had some money. They wanted to upgrade it. So what they did is they apparently took all the land around it, another 1,500 square meters, and they fenced it off, you know, and everything that way. And they put in there this natural habitat for these chimpanzees. They got the natural grasses, the natural trees, the natural fruit trees. They got even a stream flowing through it. It was to be as real and lifelike, even down to the rocks that were there, of what it would be like back home, wherever they were from. They got all this prepared, and everyone was very excited. And on the day of, you know, opening it up to the chimpanzees, there was a huge crowd there, you know, band, fanfare, everything like that. And when they opened up the gates, the monkeys came out and they looked at it and they were, you know, kind of going around for a bit. Then you know what they did? Went right back inside. And as years went by, you know what they found out? The monkeys spent still 90% of their time in that enclosure. They spent all this money, all this work on this outside thing, but they were still inside. And the zookeepers, even years later, called it their invisible cage. They had complete access to everything outside, but they didn't go. Why? Because old habits die hard. And it's not just true for chimpanzees. It's true for us, is it not? Again, we can get so caught up on, well, this is something we remember from 2,000 years ago, some historical event. Yeah, it's a historical event. But it matters to each and every one of us. It affects each and every one of us. Every breath that we take. Again, that last song that we sang, that with every breath that we are able, we should what? Sing the goodness of God. And it all goes back down to Easter. The women, they missed Easter. Why? Because they were so focused on the past that they missed what God was doing in the present. Let's not be guilty of that. Let's take note of this affects me today. By the way, I love what the next verse of that great hymn tells us there, the hymn He Lives. The second verse goes like this. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. May that be our theme as we come into this Easter season. But now I got to pick on the last group, the one that deserves being picked on more than all the others, the disciples. The disciples are just filled with examples of us being able to pick on them. Why? Because they were a group of regular men. They were regular people just like us. And they made many of the same mistakes that we do as well. So why did the disciples miss that first Easter? Because they were so focused on their broken expectations, hardships, and grief that they forgot what God had said. They were so focused on their broken expectations, hardships, and grief that they forgot what God had said. The angel said to the women, hey, remember this? Remember he said that? And they remembered. The disciples had heard it more than they had. We know from several passages of Scripture, from Matthew 16, 21 through 23, all the disciples were told what was going to happen. In Matthew 17, 9, Peter, James, and John, the inner three, they're told this is going to happen. that same chapter, in chapter 17, 22 through 23, all the disciples are told yet again he's going to go die and be raised from the dead. And also in chapter 20, 17 through 19, they're told directly once more. Okay, that's just the times they're directly told. This isn't counting the times he alluded to it. Remember when he stood in the temple and he said, hey, what's the sign you're going to give for casting things out? Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up 3 days from now. Remember they ask for a sign later on. He goes, I'm not going to give you any more signs except for what? The sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so I will be in the grave. The Son of Man will be in the grave and then rise up. So there was other examples as well, but these are directly told. And if there was any group that should have been there with a lawn chair and a bag of popcorn, it should have been them. But they missed it. Things didn't work out the way they thought they were, and they weren't expecting it. What a sad reality that is. Look at what it says there back in chapter 24. Let's begin reading with verse 8 again. And they, the women, remembered his words, what Jesus had said. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. Nonsense? He told you four times. Probably more than that. And they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb and stooping in and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So even afterwards, Peter is just in shock. We know from John's account, John's there as well. And they're just going, man, what's going on? And it's not until Jesus appears before them in the upper room, they go, okay, I get it now. And then Thomas isn't there. Remember, Thomas here, and Thomas can't believe it. His disciples struggled with it so much. Why? Because they had forgotten what God's word said. As we come to this Easter season, you know one of the best things we can do for ourselves is just continually remind ourselves of what he has said. I know for my family, at every Christmas, before we open up presents on Christmas morning, we have a tradition, as I imagine some of your families do too, of reading through the Christmas story. That's a great tradition. I know many families have that. That's wonderful. You know, we never do that, though, before we have an Easter egg, huh? Until this year. We're changing that. That's not going to be a problem anymore. We need to be reminded of what God's word's all about, is it not? I'm so grateful for those who put on community Easter egg hunts, and they'll often have, you know, the gospel given before. That's good. I've been a part of those. I love those things. Been doing that since I was a teenager. But sometimes we don't do it within our own family. As we come to this Easter season, let's keep God's word at the forefront because it's so easy to forget it. If Jesus' disciples who lived with him, traveled with him, ate with him, learned personally from him, witnessed his miracles, helped to serve the crowds as he served the crowds, if they missed it, how much easier is it for us to miss it 2,000 years removed, who can't see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears, but have to approach it through faith. Now, it's still a great thing. We're so blessed that way. But that means we need to take extra care and be in God's word. What is it that you need to do about that? I told you one of the things I'm going to do. We're going to read the Easter story before we have Easter egg hunt. And my nephews are going to be there as well, my niece. And they're going to get it too. Which I know they're going to be happy with that as well. I got a great family. I'm blessed that way. What else do I want to do? It's had my hat for a long time to spend time and do my devotions through the events of Holy Week and through the resurrection, you know, this time of year. It's been my tradition. But I really want to make an effort this year. I'm not just doing it because it's habit. I want to take time. I want to be in it. I don't want to miss what he has said. I don't want it to be said of me if an angel shows up and says, where I'm standing before the Lord. They say, hey, remember what he said? And I go, oh, yeah. Oops. I don't want to be in that. I want to be the one who's up front saying, hey, guys, remember what he said? Let's go. Let's do something about it. I want to come to this Easter season, not just remembering, but truly celebrating all that he's done, all that he is. But it all depends on what we're focused on. Years ago, I heard a story from Ken Davis, the Christian speaker and comedian. Love listening to Ken Davis. He's so funny. And he tells a story about how one time he was speaking at a conference at a big hotel somewhere. And it was one of those, when I say big hotel, I'm talking about one of those ones like a skyscraper big. And he came into the elevator to go up to his room. And he gets in the elevator. And he looks at just all the dozens, you know, of floors and whatnot in this massive hotel. He clicks the button for his, and he's just watching the numbers tick by. And finally, it gets to his floor number, and it stops, the elevator stops, and the motors for the door run, but the door doesn't open. I don't know if you know that feeling, but it's not fun, right? He clicks the button, you know, to the door open button. He hears the motors running, but it doesn't open. He tries again. It doesn't open. He clicks the button to go to the next floor. He goes up the next floor. It stops. Motors run. Door doesn't open. Button doesn't open. He's starting to panic. He clicks the next floor. Go to the next floor. Same exact thing happens. He has a full-fledged panic attack. He starts banging on the door. Help! I'm stuck in the elevator! And as he's yelling this, he hears a woman's voice behind him that says, "Sir, are you okay?" He turns around, frightened. You know, there's no one in there before. He turns around and he sees behind him there was a second elevator door that had opened up. And there was a woman waiting there to get onto the elevator. He came in and didn't realize it was one of those two-door elevators. He was looking the wrong way. This Easter season, what door are you looking at? This Easter season, what tomb are you looking at? What kind of gathering are you looking at? What's our true focus? Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I need this. So I pray it as a good reminder for each of us as well. The last verse of He Lives says this, and may this be true of us. It says, "Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind." That's the Savior we get to focus on this Easter season. And it's exciting. This is the celebration of who we are as believers. May we take advantage of it. So as we come to this Easter season, let's recognize it is possible for all of us to miss a true celebration of Easter for several reasons, for several things. We've learned several of these lessons from these individuals that were there. We learned from the guards that we need to focus on the reality of the empty tomb instead of being focused on all the bells and whistles and everything that lies outside of the tomb, outside of what Easter actually is. From the women, we learned that we should focus on the reality that Jesus is alive today, that He is our risen Lord this very moment, and not just some archaic truth or story from the past. And from the disciples, we learn that we should focus on the reality that God has spoken to us and that we need to listen and then follow through on what He has said. Let us take the time this Easter season to listen, reflect, and act on the reality that Jesus is alive, just as He said. The chorus to that great hymn of Easter, He Lives, goes like this. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen to that. May we live like it is true. And may we remember that, and may we rejoice and celebrate Easter like that is true from the heart. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so grateful for Your word that gives us so many examples. It gives us direct teaching, but it also gives us examples that we should learn from. Thank You for these three groups we covered. Lord, those guards got a true wake-up call that day. And if they ever had an opportunity to come to know You, I know it was on that day. And Lord, I would ask, I do pray, I hope that they are in glory with You at this moment. Lord, I'm grateful for the women, those wonderfully faithful women that served so faithfully in Your earthly ministry. and that were there early at the tomb. And Lord, even they were looking at the wrong thing on that day. And Lord, I thank you for your disciples, that wonderful group of men that sometimes seems like a ragtag bunch, a group of guys who didn't have together, but a group that we can relate to, Lord. Thank you for picking them. Thank you that you've not chosen those who have it all together, the wise and the strong and all those things of the world. You've chosen us, regular people, who will recognize our need for you and place our faith in your work on the cross and the wonderful life you bring in the resurrection. Lord, I give you thanks for all three of these groups. May we learn from them. May each of us today set aside ourselves to truly celebrate Easter well. Help us in whatever gatherings we're having, whether it's a small one or a big one, whether it's a lot to plan or whether we're going to go and enjoy somebody else's hospitality. I ask that you'd help us to just be ready and focused, to not miss Easter, but to truly celebrate it from the heart. We give ourselves to you. And Lord, give us opportunity that we might be able to share the message of Easter with others, to invite them to gatherings, to share the gospel with them, to point them back to Scripture, whatever it may be. Help us in these things. Help us to be faithful because you are ever faithful and ever good. We give you thanks for these things, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.